Hello and welcome back to the Labor Podcast. This is episode 2.
What happened in this round is really fucked up, and I am here to complain about it.
Cope.
Okay, just from the outset, here's what I will say. If the two very fortunate things that happened did not happen, this definitely could have beaten my run.
What was the second fortunate thing?
That you went straight to
that
me.
That we walked directly into him at the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, because, okay, maybe. But here's the thing. We managed to fuck up a lot, still have it narrowed down quite a lot. Like, we had it narrowed down to barely more than to the outskirts of Utsumoniya, and we were headed there anyways. I think the only difference, to be honest, would have been spending more time narrowing it down from broader Utsumoniya area to his actual spot, which could have just done with, like, Strava map.
There's a lot of stuff in Utsunomiya, though, man. Like, I could have gotten all kinds of places.
All right, well, let's start from the top. We had your vibe pinned, though, and we actually knew kind of the area in Utsunomiya, but it's okay. Look, let's take it from the top.
Fine.
Let's take it from the top. Okay. Lots of foreshadowing. Lots of opinions.
Well, they've seen the episode.
Yeah. Well, lots of foreshadowing to the copium that will occur later in this episode.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure.
So Ben and I wake up from our little sleep under the bridge.
Yep.
And, I mean, we actually had to pretty quickly decide which direction to leave out of Yamadera. Because, like, we had to get on one of the first two trains or we were going to waste a lot of time. And I think the first train left, like, we didn't have to rush for it, but it was soon enough that we had to decide pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, fortunately, I think we had quite a few questions at our disposal that would basically tell us which train to get on.
Because
if he had gone to Yamagata, he actually couldn't have really gotten very far at all.
Yeah.
Whereas if he'd gone back to Sendai, the map was much more open.
Yeah, and I think we had the theory that I think proved relatively right that Adam, like anyone, there's kind of a difference in this game, of course, between physical distance and kind of call it, I guess, relative distance because the train lines are so widely variable in how fast they are.
Yeah.
Of course, what really matters is how long it takes to get places, not how far physically you are. But I think everyone feels like the further, the better.
Well, I would argue that there are some advantages to physical distance. Like, there are certain questions that are more powerful if you are physically closer to them.
That's true, yeah.
And, like, even if you were 3 hours away, but, like, right outside of Yamagata, I think there would have been lots of ways we could have found him much quicker.
Yeah.
Well, it's true that, like, if you do a radius, like, call 50-mile radius, on average in Japan, there's going to be a whole lot more outside of that radius than inside of that radius. And also that, considering that it's on the furthest extent, the fact that he could be 50 miles north of you or 50 miles south of you is a lot less helpful than the fact that he's within a 50-mile thing. So it's true that there are some advantages to being physically further. That's fair. But at least at this point, I think we were thinking, we think Adam's going to go far. Of course, we both really thought initially that he would have gone north.
Yeah.
I was surprised by how confident you seemed to be that I would go north.
I wouldn't call it confident. We just thought that, like, between the two options, we thought more likely.
We definitely had a bias towards that.
I mean, there certainly were options north. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I looked north a lot. Like, I heavily, heavily considered it. The reason I ultimately went against it was most of the places north are ultimately not that dense. And so I just felt like once you figured out I was north, you were going to be able to just sort of chop down the lines until you figured out where I was.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. And my idea with Utsunomiya, which clearly didn't pan out, is I was like, even once they narrow me down to the Utsunomiya area, there are so many options around there that it will take them quite a while, or at least many questions, to narrow down where in Utsunomiya I am.
Yeah.
Now that, of course, didn't pan out at all, but I was like, if I go here, there's all this complexity there, and that's going to mess them up. And clearly that didn't work. But
no, well, that is certainly true. And like, one of the main reasons that I started by going north instead of going south was because I was like, if the game trends north, it's going to get easier. And so, like, I have a higher chance of ending those subsequent rounds faster, as opposed to if it trends south, it actually might get harder.
It's a good thought. Yeah, but I think, to be honest, at least I had not fully kind of analyzed just how sparse the options are once you go north. Because
yeah.
Even, as you're saying, Adam, it even goes beyond just how many lines there are. The density gets so low that even on these lines, there starts to get so few towns.
Right.
Because I think if we were close enough that you could have gotten to Hokkaido, I feel like you would have gotten to Hokkaido because you would have been really tempted.
I've always wanted to go to Hokkaido. We've been to Japan twice and I really want to go. But like, the thing is, this game would be stupid in Hokkaido. Like,
yeah,
it's so not dense there. This would be a dumb game.
I think a lot of this was me hoping you had gone north versus me thinking you had gone north.
Sure.
Because I really wanted to go north and I really wanted to go to Hokkaido. And also,
Also the weather.
I know.
We really can't convey that enough. It was so hot. And to your credit, Adam, I did not think that a reasonable human would put himself into a situation where he was in 90 plus degree heat, crazy humidity without any access to air conditioning for an entire day.
Yep. Well, this is sort of my thing.
Because you didn't even have a store there.
This is sort of my thing, is that often I feel like my competitive advantage is that I'm just willing to suffer more than you think or than you are.
Yeah. No, that is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, there was not even a 7-Eleven or something within that zone, right?
No, there was not. I stocked up at the 7-Eleven by my hotel.
Yeah.
That morning. And then brought the stuff over.
Yeah, that's commitment. Because that place was muggy and buggy.
It was very muggy. There were so many bugs. I had been there the night before, obviously, and I had clocked how many bugs there were. So I actually had bought bug spray at the 7-Eleven that morning. I had a lot of trouble figuring out if something was bug spray or like, I was having a lot of trouble telling if this was a bug spray that you were supposed to put on your skin or if it was a spray that you were supposed to spray onto bugs in your home to kill them. And I couldn't get to a clear answer on it, but I decided to go for it anyway. And that was big.
Anyways, we're once again jumping ahead. But yeah, so we get once again to Sendai, which at this point was starting to feel like the Lil of this season. And then, I mean, so we talked about this a little bit on last week's layover, but like this was an instance of we were on a really high speed line and on a pretty high frequency line.
Yeah.
So we were like, might as well just send it north. And I do think that to a certain extent that came back to bite us, not only because it was wrong, but what ended up happening is that, and I guess I'm jumping ahead once again a little bit here, but the connection we could make, like to turn around, turn back south after it turns out he wasn't north, like it was a quick connection, but it ended up being onto a very local Shinkansen that made all the stops. And to be honest, I don't even know, Ben, it might've been a situation where if we had waited, we could have gotten onto a better train that would have jumped ahead. I think we just honestly didn't look.
I think we checked.
We did?
No, I think we checked and it was about equal. Yeah. Ultimately, the recovery was not as efficient as we had hoped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, it's like, it was maybe not that clear why we were so skeptical that he was south. And it was because we had made a bit of a mistake when we were looking at train schedules, which is that, like, the whole area around...
Well...
What?
I don't know if I would characterize it as a mistake.
It wasn't a mistake.
No, it was a mistake. It was a mistake.
No.
This one was kind of a mistake.
No, we didn't complete our research. Like, we knew theoretically what was possible. Like, this is why we wrote maybe on the map.
That's true.
Well.
We weren't 100%. We hadn't completely locked in a no on that area.
As the person who edited that episode, along with Jack McCall, shout out, what happens is you confidently claim that the only way I could have gotten there was by going down to Tokyo and then back up into the region. And that was not true. And that was why you thought I wasn't there. So I think it was a mistake.
Did we really say that that was the only option?
Yes.
That was the only one we had found at that point.
Yeah, at least I felt like I, and maybe this is just memory holing it, but like I felt like I understood in principle, because I said this on camera, that there were all sorts of different configurations at different speeds that could have led to him getting to a non-linear collection of stations within whatever that region was. What I think could be more accurately characterized as a mistake was that for some reason, we had identified, I think it was that there was a certain Shinkansen that was one of the transfers you could have made that got to Utsumaniya with like 10 minutes to go. And I think that was an express enough Shinkansen that I think we just originally assumed that that was the fastest one to Utsumaiya. Because I think the problem was that, or what led to being confusing, was that there was a slower Shinkansen than that we had already identified that you could have transferred onto.
Yes.
As in one that made more stops that wouldn't have gotten you anywhere that you theoretically could have gotten to with the collection of other questions. So we had excluded that slower one. Then there was this one that you could have gotten to Utsumaiya on, but with so little time that you probably couldn't have gotten anywhere but the central station. So like just on behavioral analysis, it didn't make sense. We were looking into that one because it was confusing. You could have gotten off at the last stop and taken a local line to just over the border, which that was confusing us a little bit. There was like one town north of Utsumaiya that we were considering. And I think we cut that out completely because it ended up being irrelevant.
Yeah.
But then I think because of this, at least I probably assumed that this was the fastest route to Utsumaiya. So what I would admit as a mistake is assuming that in the moment, but I don't honestly think that we had gotten to the point of research where we thought that we had identified every single option in this region, because we kept finding these other weird, quirky scenarios, like, you know, as I was mentioning, getting off just before the border in the prior region and taking a local. So we understood this in principle, we just hadn't like done it all in practice.
What was interesting about this season, like in contrast to Switzerland, was that I think we had thought of like potential arrival time as being such a concrete and such a useful piece of starting data. In Switzerland, it was. Like, it was pretty consistently able to tell us pretty much exactly where they could have gotten. And I think in Japan, it was much harder because there were so many more trains and there were so many more configurations of those trains.
Because it was really the issue that ended up burning us in Switzerland that kept coming up.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, when there is limited stop trains running on a same route as local trains and like high speed, there honestly just start to get so many different variables that it's just too hard to track them all.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly saying a lot of this in retrospect, but like it's hard to get to the feeling of I have identified every single option. So like, honestly, like this episode ends up being kind of straightforward from the viewer experience because so much of it is just Ben and I heads down while we're on the Shinkansen researching. Because again, like why that research took so long was because of all these different little configurations. I will say the one bit of research that we allude to this, I was pretty satisfied with, was this very narrow sliver east of Sendai on the coast.
Yes.
Was really annoying because it was like this tiny area that there was honestly a lot of logic for Adam going there. Like, apparently it was like a touristy area, very scenic, small towns, low frequency, somewhat counterintuitive. There was a lot of stuff pointing to it, and it was just valid physically in our zone.
The sinister Sendai sliver, as Ben calls it in the episode.
Yeah, that's what they call it. I was very pleased that in that situation, I was able to exclude confidently every single option, largely based on arrival time. And that was a situation where I was able to be confident because it was all local service to get there. So it was much easier to exclude on arrival time. Like, combo of arrival time, train frequency, and some other factors, I was able to exclude every single train station, which, again, was pleased about.
Pretty cool move, except for the fact that then you just did a 100-mile radar to double-check it later on because you guys got so frustrated.
Well, Ben didn't believe me.
You gotta double-check these things. The information's too squishy.
Doubts my power.
I still don't trust it.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, wait, when did we even ask that 50?
As we're going back down.
It's 100.
Yeah, because we had already asked the tallest building one, but my power had not been unleashed fully at that point. So we still didn't know the location.
No.
Anyway, photos are so good. I keep saying this. We always say this. Photos are so good. Except for last episode where I argued the opposite. But in this episode, photos are so good.
Yeah.
I feel like we've skipped over a lot of Adam. Adam, what were you doing?
What were you up to?
Well, I was up to all kinds of things. You know, I met my little castle. I loved my castle. I mean, this, of course, comes to bite me in the ass later, is that you know that I love going to little castles. Here's what I'll say, is that if I had really been thinking this all the way through, I should have predicted that something like what occurred could have occurred. Because part of why I was so pleased with this hiding spot is that this was a really cool place with a really cool little castle that was not a popular tourist site at all.
Yeah.
Like, it seems to be, based on the signage around it, it seems that this area actually wants it to be a tourist attraction. Like, they're trying to make it a tourist attraction more so.
Mm.
But it is not one currently. I mean, I was there all day in that park, and I saw two other people in the park the whole day.
Well, this is what I loved so much about this spot, is because, like, when we got out there, I was like, oh, we're just, like, in the, like, suburbs of Japan. It's just, like, there are rice fields and houses. Oh,
yeah. You were like, we out here, right?
That was how I felt, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so I was really pleased because, like, I, as we all did, I think, wanted to hide somewhere cool, with a cool visual for a great opening shot and, you know, just like a cool place to explore. But I think I had experienced in Ben's case, well, you know, if you just look up like things to do, tourist spots, popular tourist places, there's only going to be a few in any given area and that could be a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
So what I was so pleased about is I discovered this place organically, in that I was looking at many, many options. I was looking at Utsunomiya. I saw the light rail. I was very excited by the light rail, in part because, and this never became relevant at all, on Apple Maps, the light rail is in a faint, faint line in yellow, which really blends in with the sort of cream color that Apple Maps tends to use for the city background in general.
I was in dark mode. I got you with dark mode.
Like, you can see, like, you barely even notice it. Like, it almost looks like it's a road. Like, it's so easy to miss. I think if you're using Apple Maps in the correct orientation, Ben, unfortunately, you were saying you used it in dark mode, which explains a lot and sucks. And then I was just looking at it, and I saw Tobiyama Castle site, as you did, Sam, and I thought, what's that? that could be interesting. And I looked into it. I discovered this castle and I was thrilled. Now, I should have thought about the fact that you could discover this.
The very thing of Adam looks at map and sees castle station. It's like, oh, I want to go to the castle station. The character analysis.
Yeah. I should have thought about the fact that you could have discovered it the same way I did.
We certainly attempt to do character analysis a lot through the entire season.
Yeah.
And we even in this episode attempted it with you going north and failed. But this was the one case I feel like where the character analysis was spot on.
No, it's brutal.
Yeah.
But okay, I want to add a little bit more to how we narrowed it down to there, because it is a little more complex than, like, it was not just like random scrolling via the map and looking around. Because as we mentioned, eventually we find the train that indicates that you could have had, I want to say maybe 30 minutes or so.
It was about a half hour. Yeah.
Yeah. To transfer somewhere.
Yeah, a little less, I think. Because it was extremely tight for me to get there. I had to get off the train. I had to make like a 2-minute connection onto the light rail. Mm-hmm. And then I think I got off the light rail and I had like 2 minutes to spare or something. Like, it was very tight.
Because we saw that and we looked at like the transfers to some of the other lines, some of the smaller lines out of Utsumiya. And we were able to exclude some of them, at least, just based on, like, the transfer would have not worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, of course, we saw the light rail, and there were a couple stations that you could have gone to, but what we had seen in the photo was relatively thick forest, and it was relatively easy to scroll through the satellite map of the area and see where had dense trees. And there were not many stations that had dense trees.
Well, the other thing was in the 5 buildings photo, there were like a lot of nice residential homes. Mm-hmm. And so we were looking at the parts of Utsunomiya that had like neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Like where people live.
Well, this was actually, I think, a big mistake that I made in retrospect is that I think that that first photo of the tallest building had actually done a sort of effective job of throwing you off a little bit in that it looked so rural that you weren't even really considering suburban areas. Because what was interesting about this area is that on a map, it just looks like, yeah, you're in sort of suburbia. But if you actually went there, it was like, there are many large parts of it where you're like, we're in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, it had a really rural vibe.
Yeah, it was certainly a weird mishmash of features.
Yeah, it was a strange pocket of like a very rural feeling situation, even though, again, on a map, it didn't look that rural.
Yeah.
And on a satellite map, I guess it looked somewhat rural, but on a non-satellite, which in fairness, I tend to use the non-satellite because I find satellite sort of overwhelming to look at, it doesn't look that rural. So I then, as you hear in the episode, I'm like, I don't want them to know how rural looking this place is. I want them to be more focused on a more suburban place. I think that was exactly the wrong tactic. I think that what I should have done, because I think that part of it is like, part of what got you to start looking around this area was that 5 buildings photo where you were like, oh, maybe he's in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And you start looking at the suburbs, then you find me. I think that what I should have done is I should have found the most rural looking set of 5 buildings and I should have sent that and it would have just kept you confused about like, well, he can't be in the suburbs. So you wouldn't have even been looking in the suburban area.
Yeah.
So I think that was a big misstep by me where I did the exact opposite of what would have made sense.
In practice, I'm not sure that that photo really influenced at least me very strongly in either direction, but it's true that that might have helped mislead a little bit more. But, you know, the reason, somewhat a non sequitur, but the reason why I think this has a bit of a mishmash of features is that it is right next to this massive industrial park where, fun fact, it's where Canon makes their L-series lenses.
Is that why there were so many Western businessmen on that thing?
Yes.
There were so many businessmen.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That was where the light rail terminated, I think.
Yeah. No, this was like, I remember this in the moment, like, I think we all independently noticed, where like, it's very noticeable that like, where you do and don't see white people in Japan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Utsumiya is not, like, downtown, you did not see anyone but Japanese people.
No, not really.
But on the light rail, you saw a bunch of white people dressed in, like, suits.
Yeah, I was like, what are you guys doing here? I was like, I picked the most random place I could find. Why are you here?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it has more than just the cannon factory. Like, it's this big industrial park. But I saw the cannon thing on the map and looked it up. And I even own one of those L-series lenses. So it originated from right next to Tobiyama Castle.
Pretty cool.
Isn't that fun?
But yeah, the other thing that that light rail serves is there's like a middle and elementary school. And so when I went there in the morning, it was all like school children. And it was like a light rail full of like Japanese school children. And then also one like 27-year-old American vlogger. And I think that they were like, what the fuck is this guy doing here?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that in a lot of moments this season.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But anyway, so I'm hanging out. I mean, I had a nice day overall. You know, I liked being by the castle. That park was really nice and very peaceful. A little buggy, but nonetheless, really nice.
The river looked delightful.
It was great. Yeah, I was listening to Studio Ghibli soundtracks for a lot of the trip when I wasn't busy, and that was nice. And sort of having a moment, I would snack on my 7-Eleven snacks that I brought that morning. As you note, Sam, yeah, I went to the river, which was nice and cooled me down just a little bit, which was pleasant. And, you know, I was looking for my hiding spot. Well, one thing, I mean, and we'll get to this. I was really pleased with my hiding spot plan. And as is made clear in the footage, it would have worked because you did do exactly what I predicted you would do, which was go directly to the castle woods to look for me. And the whole point was going to be that that wasn't where I was.
But, well, no, I'm jumping ahead too much. Okay, we'll get to that. But yeah, so anyway, we get to Utsumiya, have a horrific round of Hangman.
Yeah, I'll just say that sort of from a content perspective, I regret putting this challenge on. I think from a gameplay perspective, it's really fun. But the fact that we have to make the audience watch two games of Hangman was not awesome in the edit.
Yeah.
I like watching it, but that one was definitely optimized for the home game for sure.
Yeah, well, also, like, Adam loves playing his little word games, like, you know.
Yes.
I think he's one of these New York Times games fiends.
I do. I love my word games.
And I'm horrific at word games. So anytime we put a word game on, that is massively in not my favor. And Ben is a literary arts major, so you must be good at words, right?
Good enough, I guess. We got him eventually.
Yeah, you got my ass.
Eventually.
On the second game, you know, I only won one of them.
We did have the first moment here where the camera literally melted down. Like, the camera just shut off because of overheating.
Well, this footage is disastrously bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of why we cut it down so much. You guys' microphones are not working. So it's really bad audio already. There is a siren going off almost the entire time.
Yep.
That you are recording. And then your camera shuts down and you go and like reset somewhere else. You're also standing like really far away. Like, it's some of the worst footage I've ever seen in the show. And you're already doing something kind of uninteresting, which is playing Hangman, and then we have to also contend with the worst footage that we have ever had.
Thanks, Adam.
It was not ideal. It was not ideal, but I feel like the quality of our footage always starts to go down as the day goes on. Like, the mics start to die, and, like, we're swapping phones, and we're tired and sweaty, and so, like, the quality of the shots that we get as the day progresses gets worse and worse. Generally.
So the moment after the Hangman, I was really looking forward to because I knew how much Adam would freak out.
Yeah.
Seeing us go directly to him.
No, I mean, I feel like you really get what you wanted in that footage.
Yeah, no, and it totally pays off. This footage was exactly what I was hoping for.
I'm sure it was satisfying to watch it.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a good moment.
I think it's the first time that we really caught a hider by surprise. Like, I think in every other round of hide and seek that we've done before this, like, the hider knew that the Seekers were coming and were able to get into position.
Yeah.
And this one was really a surprise.
Certainly the first time when someone was like forced to get into a random spot, basically. But yeah, that was nice. And then, so I think we didn't capture this in the footage, unfortunately, because we're not good at filming. But when we got to the forest after our little walkie walk, there was a sign, and you always got to read the sign. Because when we Google translated the sign, it said, don't follow Google Maps or whatever. Take this right to the park.
Yep.
Is that what it says?
Yep.
Something like that.
Fuck that.
Like, it basically said, like, navigation will tell you to go this way. Don't listen to it. Take this right.
Yeah.
But you don't acknowledge that in the footage? Yeah, because that's not in there.
We allude to it, but I think we didn't capture the sign itself.
Wow. That makes so much sense. I didn't know that until just now, because it's not in the footage.
Well, because in the footage, I just say, oh, maybe he's up here. And then we walk that way. But yeah. Or maybe, was it a sign or was it something that we had read online?
No, it was a sign. It was a physical sign.
No, it's a sign. There's a little white sign that's there. Because the whole thing, the whole thing of why I hid there was that Google Maps doesn't tell you to go there.
That's why you gotta read the sign.
But I think you guys were using Apple Maps anyway, so.
I don't think even Apple Maps directed there.
One of the maps, I think, at least indicated it as an actual path.
Apple did, I think.
But if you were navigating, if you just put in directions to the castle, it would have taken you to the next thing. But yeah, that was another pretty satisfying moment where it's like, as I think we were saying, it's like we were preparing for, like, it was so hot. It was so muggy. The forests looked dense. I think at least from the outside, I think it looked a lot more dense and a lot more intimidating than it actually was, at least looking at your footage from it, Adam. But we were gearing up for an extended afternoon there. So the moment where it's like, I think in our minds, like, this was like potentially the start of like an hours long search.
Yeah, I was not excited.
And it's just like, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
It sucked so much.
Because of course, like, if we hadn't found him immediately, we probably would have gone all the way to that dental clinic to clear the curse.
And I had two of them.
And then it turned out that Adam had a duplicate.
Yeah. No, it would have taken hours. It would have taken hours.
Just clearing the curses would have been like 2 hours.
Yeah, no.
It's so frustrating.
Big bullet dodged.
Because the thing is, if I had just been able to go to where I was gonna hide, I would have gotten at least 2 more hours.
Although, no, you were gonna hide by the river, right?
In the woods by the river, yeah.
In the woods by the river, but there's a little clip in there I want credit for where I tell Ben, look, there are woods over there. Let's take a mental note of that because he might be there or something like that. I clocked your ass.
Still would have taken us longer.
It would have taken us certainly longer, but I at least identified that as a trick that you might have. The other trick that we thought that you might pull that we were debating whether or not you would do was the other side of the river, the far side of the river, was within your zone from that station.
Yeah.
But there was no bridge aside from the light rail bridge, but there was no path on the bridge. And the station, the next station, was out of your zone. So, like, you couldn't have taken the light rail to cross the river.
Yeah.
But we were trying to think, like, would he swim across the river? And would the rules even technically allow that? We were debating.
The rules would allow it.
I would argue that they shouldn't, because that river was swift enough where that would have been, you know.
Well, I think that the rules have a thing that's just, like, you can't do anything that would, like. Well, I guess there's two things. The rules have a thing where it's like, you're not allowed to do anything that could put you in real danger. And two, I think, is like, you can't hide anywhere that the Seekers would,
I think, hesitate to go.
We would hesitate to go on account of like a danger or whatever. But I guess that theoretically, you guys could have gotten there without danger. So it sort of is a gray area.
Yeah. We can define for next season. Anyways, that was nice. What did y'all do with your afternoon? And this was like a very early end in the end, because I think you just got a hotel.
It was.
I went to the electronics store to buy more microphones. At least we had broken so many of them.
Yeah, because our microphones got messed up.
Yeah, it was carnage this season. It was bad. How was Utsumaiya? Was it charming?
It's pretty boring.
Very boring.
Yeah.
You could have gone to the Canon factory.
And the mall that I had to go to the electronics store, was like the most stressful place I've ever been. It was like 100 stories tall.
Well, that's what Adam and I were dealing with in Sendai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These malls are very confusing and very multi-layered.
Yeah. I think that we went to a hotel and then I think I ordered food and then they brought me completely the wrong thing.
Oh, I remember you complaining about this, yeah.
And then it was like, but I was so hungry and tired that I just ate it anyway. But like, I don't remember what I had ordered, but I had ordered like chicken korma. There was an Indian place, I think, and I had ordered chicken korma or something. And they brought me like some insane noodle thing that I really didn't like.
I believe that between starting the game and the dinner that I had on the end of this day, day two, I exclusively ate out of convenience stores, like for my actual meals. I exclusively ate convenience store food and I was perfectly happy with that.
I was eating convenience stores for a lot of meals. And then there was a certain point at which I was like, I have to eat food that was cooked regular because like, I'm gonna like become sick.
What's wrong with the little microwaves?
I was vibing with the 7-Eleven food. I thought it was delicious.
No, it is.
I loved it. I could have eaten that the entire season and I would have been perfectly happy. Speaking of which, I have to grab something out of the oven, my lunch. I'll be right back.
Mm. Okay.
What do we think Sam's lunch is?
I have no idea. A burrito, perhaps?
In the oven. I'm almost positive that means that it is like, it's either leftovers or it could be frozen food. I don't think Sam cooked something and is heating it up. That's not really his vibe.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that Sam is heating up leftovers from something that he ordered for dinner the night previously.
The oven. What's lunch?
Ordering things does not really exist here. I cooked chicken fingers to put on my Caesar salad, which I will imminently make.
Brilliant.
I see. Beautiful.
Yeah. It sort of counteracts the different effects, you know, fried chicken, Caesar salad.
Right. No, that's beautiful stuff.
And it balances out to even.
Yeah.
Anyways, so there's not that much more to say besides the fact that the audience does get to see my hiding spot.
Yes.
At the end of this episode.
They do.
I suppose
they
we can't even react. We can't even react to what that is.
No, I can't.
You can't react. Here's what I'll say. Similar to Adam, I did not love my options because it was sort of between backtracking north to kind of a similar zone to where Ben had been or doing stuff like closer to Tokyo than I would want. Because, like, I didn't want to go too close to Tokyo, at least in a normal spot, because you would have just gone to Tokyo and then you could have gotten to wherever I was and checked a bunch of spots pretty quickly because high-frequency, high-speed lines of Tokyo. So when I first thought of this, to be clear, this was not something that I was thinking of in advance of the season. But I was just, like, scrolling around on the map, and I looked at it, and I was thinking, is this allowed? Because, like, we set very defined rules about what sort of interior spaces you're allowed to hide in, which really limits it a lot. Because, basically, it can't be, like, a business. Because, you know, it's not really fair to just, like, loiter in a business for hours upon hours. It has to be open at all hours that the game day occurs, which not many public places are, especially at the start of the day.
Yeah.
So that kind of leaves things like, for example, like most libraries would not be, but it kind of leaves like transit stations. And we had always thought about that as train stations.
Yeah.
But I saw it on the map, started thinking about it, and I thought, this is probably going to be confusing.
I can't comment.
And we'll find out if it is, in fact, confusing next week.
I simply can't comment on the matter.
Yep. I think the audience is going to think it's very on the nose with the audience's perception of me. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Well, it's good. They get a lot of Sam Airport content that they are starved of.
I mean, I will say that, like, the audience is right, that it is really on brand for you. And I don't think it's a spoiler to say you love being at the airport in this episode. You're having an amazing time experiencing the airport.
Well, I think a lot of that was thinking about what the alternative was, which was thinking about your hiding situation from day two. Like that versus air-conditioned airport with shops and massage chairs and stuff like that.
Well, you know, see, I was willing to make sacrifices for making our show Amazing.
I was willing to make sacrifices too, much less in the physical realm, more in the riskiness of this spot, because it was counterintuitive. The other thing was it was far from the furthest extent that I could have gotten, which was another thing I wanted to try, because almost every round in every hide-and-seek season up to this point, well, except for my round where I tried the same thing before and it didn't pay off, the hider went pretty close to the furthest theoretical limit of where they could have gone.
Yes.
On time. Whereas this was like an hour short of that. Anyway, we'll see how it plays out. Any closing thoughts?
Goodbye.
No, I hope people are liking Jet Lag the game.
So true.
Yep.
I'm hoping that as well.
Hopefully soon people will start to, I mean, we're recording this way in advance, but I feel like at the moment at which you will listen to this, people hopefully will have started to get the home game.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I'll be very interested to see what they think of that. It is going out quickly. I hope everything is spelled correctly. Okay, say something to end the episode.
Bing bong.
Bing bong, okay.
Okay. It's the wrong person, but Ben did it.
Bing bong.
Okay, see you next week.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye.